Welcome back to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. Our topic today is communication. Our guest, well, an expert on communication, a man that's been doing this for well over 30 years in a variety of academic and practical settings, Dr. Bernard Gurney from the National Institute of Relationship Enhancement. We're kind of getting down to the nuts and bolts of this, too. And I think, you know, from a guy's point of view, all this talk about communication, it seems so touchy-feely and intimidating. One of the great things about Dr. Gurney's model is he's very practical, and he tells us exactly what we can do to improve the likelihood of our communication going well. Dr. Gurney, on the other side, you mentioned to us that there's a tremendous temptation to sometimes tell the other person, well, let me tell you the truth here. Let me tell you how things really are. Let me tell you what the real kind of reality of the situation is. We talk that way to other people, and they act a little bit defensive. And you say, we're going to get more mileage. We're going to get more bang for the buck, so to speak, if we really tell people what's in our heart and be subjective. And I don't think this is obvious to people. So could you maybe go in a little more detail about that? How is it, if I'm subjective, the other person's going to hear me better?
Because if you don't stake out the truth, the other person has much less to argue with you about. If you say, this is the way I look at it, the other person is much more likely to grant you that privilege of saying how you look at it. Whereas if you're talking about the truth, he's always thinking in his mind, because you're in a conflict situation, that's what I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not it. It's this way. And so you can avoid that sort of head-butting tendency in a situation like that by being very subjective and making clear that whatever you're saying, you realize is your way of looking at it, and that you're going to be ready to listen to the other person's expression of how they look at it, and then work things out from there. So I think it's that which facilitates things, that and makes things go much more smoothly and works towards solving the problem.
But another way to put it being, it's not that I'm indifferent to the truth out there, but I'm really going to give you the truth of my feelings. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about this. Is that accurate? Because it's, in a way, it's not masquerading the truth in any way. It's saying, let me tell you what's true for me. Let me tell you how I'm experiencing and feeling this particular situation. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so it's kind of turning inward and not just pointing out to the world at large. It's pointing into my heart. And I think that's what communication intimacy should be anyhow, is heart-to-heart expression. So the first part of expressing ourselves better is to be willing to be subjective, to talk about how I'm experiencing it and how I'm feeling. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. The next point you mentioned is not generalizing. What do you mean by generalizing?
Well, a generalization, or let's say you're upset the way a son or a daughter or a husband is handling things in terms of neatness or doing their chores or whatever that kind of thing may be, you don't generalize and say, well, you never do this, you always do that. You don't generalize in terms of saying, you know, why are you so lazy, you know, or why can't you be more ambitious or whatever that kind of thing is. You stick to the specific issue or issues that you can point out and that you can discuss in a specific way. The generalizations are things, when you say you somebody, generalize to them, say you're lazy or this or that, it raises big problems in terms of their defensiveness, and it keeps you from working on resolving a particular problem.
One of the interesting things about your model, it acts like when I'm talking to someone, I can have an impact on whether or not they're going to be defensive. The way I say things can help them to be open. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fascinating thing. So even though I'm not really responsible for the other person, I certainly can improve the likelihood of that person listening to me and not getting defensive. And one of the things we want to avoid is generalization. But generalization is so radically tempting. Your kid doesn't clean the room. To not say you're always a slob, you're always lazy, is just pretty tough.
Right. Oh, right. And it, you know, these skills, They take some effort to learn. It's self-discipline, but I think once you start seeing the results of it, that things start to go better, then it really begins to take hold and you're eager to learn more.
All right, so the first skill is to be subjective. The second is not generalized. What other skills do you find are helpful for couples to know to improve their communication?
Well, I would say one of the things I would want to say about in expressing yourself is that to try to begin with becoming aware yourself of the importance of the relationship to you and the positive things in it and the love that underlies your frustration and that and your desire to improve the relationship is what you're working on, as well as getting a specific problem solved. And so to begin with that, what we call underlying positive, the things that are saying I really care about how we relate to each other and how we get along, and one of the things that's bothering me and that's getting in the way of that is this, and then go into the problem. So showing an understanding of the other person and the appreciation of the other person in general is a good way to begin any discussion like that. And the more it's related to the specific problem you're bringing up, the better, so that if it is a matter of somebody not doing their chores, not doing something around the house, to be aware of some of the things that they do in life and in the relationship that are helpful, and expressing appreciation of those things, and then saying, here's a specific area where I'd like to see some change. So that's, I think, a very important point.
This is fascinating. So what you're saying, let me see if I got this right, Dr. Gurney. You're saying that if I have an issue or problem with, let's say, somebody I care about, my wife or my kids or something, if I have an issue or problem with that, that's one thing and that needs to be discussed. But there's something kind of bigger and broader than this, that is, we have a relationship. And that relationship has a lot of good stuff going and a lot of things to offer. And it would be prudent for me to mention those things, that is, the beauty of our relationship or the virtues of our relationship, and in context of when I also bring up a specific problem. Do I have that right?
Yeah, right. And that in part you're doing this because it's interfering with the relationship, and you want to work on that, you know, to try and resolve it so it doesn't get in the way of all those positive feelings.
That's a really interesting notion that we should always be concerned not just about the problem that the other person is doing. They're doing something to irritate us or concern us or something we want to discuss, but then there's always something bigger. Let's say that we kind of take the 30,000-foot view of our relationship. There's something good still going on here. So you find it meritorious to bring out the parts we appreciate in the context of also discussing a particular problem or issue that we have. Is that correct?
Right, and the importance of the relationship to you. As a part of that, that you want it to be strong, and you don't want anything to get in the way of it.
So again, I guess this would also, like your other two skills, require some discipline here, that we don't just focus on what it is that's irritating us at this moment, but we look at the big picture of the maybe the beauties and strengths of our marriage and relationship, and in that context, talk about improving it by overcoming a particular problem.
Right. And, you know, and really what that comes down to is the love that you feel for the other person. And to make that a part of what you're dealing with here.
We're talking with Dr. Bernard Gurney. We're talking about skills necessary to improve communication, and also skills, as you just mentioned, skills necessary to help us be more loving. As Christians, we're commanded to be more loving. It's always interesting to get some specific pointers on how to do that. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. We'll continue our discussion with Dr. Gurney right after this.